Thank you. As she said, I'm going to talk about the beetle tribe called At the Tiny, and I'm going to talk mostly about methods in this talk, but of course I'll have to introduce the group briefly first. This is how they look. Essentially, it's a group of tiny little staphylinid beetles, and it's actually a huge group of staphylinid beetles. It contains over 200 genera and many thousand species, so I don't think anyone knows how many, but 5,000 is a reasonable estimate. So these little guys are actually a good little chunk of the Coleoptera world. And it's also an extremely difficult group taxonomically. It's the large number of species combined with very few and very homoplastic tractus has led to a lot of artificial groups through the revisional history of the tribe, and of course there are a lot of conflict between scientists up through the years. And the question is what we can do with a mess like this, and the word of today is molecular phylogeny, and I'm not going to stand here and say that molecules solve our problems. As you will see later in this talk, they do definitely not. But they can help us identify some of the problems, and they help us at least a little part of the way, which is what I'm going to talk about. So what we have been doing with this, guys, is we have sequenced 7 genes, or parts thereof. One of the genes is nuclear, it's 18S. 6 of the genes are mitochondrial. And 3 of these genes are protein coding for polypeptide chains. 4 of them are RNA coding for such nice little hairpin structures such as this. And we started out with a protein coding gene CO1, CO2, and very quickly found out that they evolved very quickly, too quickly really for our purpose. But luckily the genes contain signal at several different levels, so instead of plain nucleotide sequences you can look at purine, pyrimidine translations, which will give you a more slowly evolving signal, at least in principle. That's not necessarily true, actually, always. Or you can use amino acid translations, which will give you a very slowly evolving signal indeed. And you find similar trends, but even more so, in the RNA coding genes. You have unpaired regions, such as these pink loop regions, which evolve relatively rapidly, but usually not so rapidly as the protein coding sequences. You have the paired regions marked in blue, which evolve more slowly. You have special rules applying within the paired regions, which, among other things, give a very strong transitional bias. And you have the secondary structure, the shape of the whole structure here, which is very conserved indeed. And of course, if something is very conserved, you don't get many characters out of it, but the few characters you do get are often very good characters, and I want to show you an example. This applies mostly to what happens within the subfamily as a whole, not so much our tribe, but still it's very neat. This is one particular hairpin from the 18S gene, and this is how it looks in our most distant outgroup, Tachinus. If we move to our subfamily Aleocorinae, we find a very different hairpin. We see it's much larger, and actually it's only the basal 4 pairs that can be homologized between them. This is the so-called basal Aleocorines. If we move to the higher Aleocorines, we find a hairpin which looks much the same at the first glance, but at closer inspection we see that it's had a major deletion of this proportion here, and an insertion of another big portion of bases. And this pattern is found in about half the higher Aleocorine tribes. In the other half, including our tribe At the Tiny, we find a shorter hairpin which has experienced another deletion. So this one character neatly divides our tribes in two portions for the higher Aleocorines. And these characters are not included in the phylogenetic analysis, they are included in the discussion, but the other characters, of course, we hope to include, try to include in our phylogenetic methods. And our baseline analysis has been a plain maximum parsimony analysis with equal character weights. We've also run a number of differential weighting parsimony analysis, trying to take into account what happens both with the nucleotides, the purine-pyrimidine translations, and the amino acid translations at the same time. And we are running Bayesian analysis in the program phase, which, in addition to these three levels, can take into account secondary structure of RNA genes. What these analyses give us is a lot of trees, everyone different. All the analyses give us significantly different trees, lots of homoplasy in our data, and part of the reason for this can be seen in this preliminary tree from the Bayesian analysis. Here we have estimated branch lengths, and you see that the terminal branches are extremely long and the internal branches marked in black are extremely short. And with a pattern like this, one may question whether we will ever be able to say anything about this flat part here because of all the masking events along the terminal branches. But we have some good news as well. One thing is that all these differential weighting schemes and Bayesian analysis gave a better character support to what we would consider good character standard equal parsimony. So there is an argument for using more complex methods. And we had 18 clades appearing in all trees, regardless of method, and often with quite good character support. And although these 18 clades marked in black don't say much about what happens in the flat basal part of our phylogeny, they can be used to answer some questions regarding the traditional taxonomy of the group, or classification. Our first question, of course, was, is our tribe actually monophyletic? And that was an open question when we started the study. And I marked it in light blue, and we see that if we allow for the inclusion of another tribe, Lomicusaini, our tribe at the time is actually monophyletic. This one Lomicusain taxon here is a jumping taxon, no one has been sure really where it belongs. While these are good Lomicusains, forming a well-supported clade with a couple of the Atatines. Atatine has also been divided in a number of subtribes. We have included several of them here, four of them with multiple specimens, and three of those turn out to be highly polyphyletic. And within Atatine, there is one genus in particular, Atheta, which is a kind of monster genus. It contains 2,000 species, or depending on classification, as I said, there are conflicting classifications. So some say 12 species, others say 2,000. And whether this genus is monophyletic was highly doubtful, and our analysis, well, I think we can confirm that it's polyphyletic. But people have been trying to subdivide Atheta in a number of subgenera. And we have included a number of them here. Five of them, I think, with multiple specimens, and four of those five turned out to be polyphyletic, including Atheta sensu stricto. So this is where we stand today, and to quickly summarize, we have very bad resolution in our trees, but we do have good support for some clades, luckily. We also have strong evidence against the traditional classification, for whatever that is worth, and we have some support for using complex methods. And what we are going to do in the continuing work is we are going to sequence more genes and especially try to collect more rare evolutionary events. We hope to sequence more taxa to try to split up some of those terminal branches. And we are hopefully going to include morphology also. And with this, I want to conclude by thanking a lot of people who have contributed to this project. Thank you. LU1 and LU2, that are two tRNA genes.
What do you mean by rare
evolutionary
events?
Yeah, what I'm thinking about then is, for instance, such characters related to the shape of these RNA molecules. Single nucleotide substitutions will rarely count as a rare evolutionary event because from experience, we have lots of homoplasy in those kinds of tractors by larger events like indels, as we had in the secondary structures, they could count as rare events. Yes?
Can you code those in and do something like a morphology analysis with them?
We could do that. One way of including them in the analysis, which I haven't done now, that is to simply code them as binary characters, indel present or absent, and then give them some arbitrary high weight compared to single nucleotides. But that's the problem, arbitrary high weight. Someone will then ask, why did you give it this weight and not something else? So we prefer to put it in the discussion in this first article.
More questions? Come on in. Thank you very much.
Thanks.